Good morning.
Well, good morning, Faye. How are you?
I'm wonderful. A little warm, but other than that, everything's great.
Well, yeah, but then again, it's back to school time, so it won't be too terribly long before, you know, we start seeing, you know, signs of fall and the crisp mornings again, and then we smell all the apples and the cinnamon and all that stuff comes back in, and we make the transition through the seasons. So, you know.
Did you know that somebody posted this week, she said she was new to Texas, wanted to know where our apple trees were. I almost fell out laughing. I go, man, these people from out of state don't know Texas. You know, want to know where all the apple trees were. I go, oh, my gosh.
Wow. I don't think anybody's ever said that before.
I never had heard. And then, you know, I'm always going and checking out the little blog on Nextdoor. This week, somebody is wanting to get a turtle. I mean, it blows my mind.
Wow.
Oh, and the other thing you probably don't know about, I was at the pet store, and rabbits are $250.
Are you serious?
I never heard of a rabbit being worth $250.
I've never priced rabbits, but I would guess that's... I would never
Can
guess that.
Can you imagine?
Oh, wow.
I've only known one person in my entire life that had a rabbit, and this lady carried it around everywhere she went.
Really?
But can you imagine if a dog walked in the room or anything, that rabbit would be gone. She'd never find it again. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. You hear all kind of funny things on not only the Nextdoor thing, but also on the police blotter. So there's no shortage of entertainment.
That's right. And the police blotter, there's never anything serious there. It's always, you know, something really crazy, you know. And when they go out to these houses, it's always something simple. It's not what they think.
No.
But I think they've just spent too much time watching their neighbors.
Yeah. People are way too nosy.
And they get to imagining all this, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And they want it checked out. Yeah, they're always saying, well, you've got to check this. Come out here.
It's more like a real-life episode of Andy Griffith's show.
It is. It's just a little higher up than Andy Griffith, I can tell you. And they keep losing all these roosters.
Oh.
I cannot believe this.
Really?
I mean, I can't even imagine them having roosters. Oh. But then they'll report they saw this rooster walking down the road, and they'll tell you what road it's on. And then everybody's dogs get lost, and they post if they can't pick the dog up. Usually, all the neighbors will pick up your dog, put it in their backyard. Then they'll put a picture on there and say, "Is this your dog? Oh, he's in my backyard. If you can describe him, you can take him home." I mean, you know.
Oh my word! Wow.
I mean, there's four or five a week of puppies getting lost.
Goodness
and
gracious!
And then if the puppy won't get in your car, they'll tell you where they saw it last.
Oh, geez.
Yeah.
Last seen at whatever.
That's right.
I mean, wow.
Only out in the country can you find that.
Yeah, clearly. Oh, wow. It's just so for entertainment, you don't watch TV. You, like, go read either the police blotter or Nextdoor.
That's right. And when the little newspaper comes out, it always has everything. What's happened, police blotter, you know, you can get all the news.
Boy, what would ever happen if something like legitimately serious ever happened? People would lose their
mind. I don't know. You know, it's always just the neighbors being nosy about other neighbors, think there's something going on. And I liked the one the other day about the blind horse. That was so funny.
What?
Yes. This lady had a blind horse. And it was going down 407 with it. Well, this guy was trying to ride his horse, and it made his horse jumpy and wouldn't pay attention. And he called the police and said, "Do something about it." And they come out. They said, "What do you expect us to do? It's our horse." I mean, you know, you're just going to have to get a hold of your horse and get it back in the pasture. Oh, my gosh. They wanted him to do something because that blind horse was bothering their horse.
They really called the police over that.
They really did. It was on the blotter, I'm telling you.
Oh, wow. Oh, my world.
Yeah.
It is always an adventure in Faye's world, for sure.
That's right.
Wow. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
Of course, now I'm thinking just off the top of my head that if you wanted to be a police officer, your neck of the woods is probably the place to do it.
Well, it would be, because it's a small town, and it's going to give you a lot of action, a lot of interaction with animals, donkeys, horses, yeah, you know, whatever. And that, I forgot the other one. These people had this little cow, and it was lonely, and they wanted somebody to come and rent part of their pasture to help them out. I mean, it's crazy, folks. Nobody may not believe it, but it is the truth.
Oh, wow. Oh, my goodness. I need to get my hands on that just for entertainment purposes.
That's right. You need to subscribe. Yeah. Then you'll have as much fun as I do.
Yeah, clearly. Well, it kind of teaches you not to take life so seriously, that's for sure.
That's right.
Okay, so we always talk about money, we usually don't make, we kind of make this up as we go. Before the show, usually we'll chit-chat for a few minutes. We rarely ever talk about anything to do with money. We talk about silly things for a while. And so where would you like to start today? You want to start with life settlements, or?
Let's talk about life settlements.
Okay.
Because that's big right now. It seems to be really big. A lot of the companies are doing a lot of advertising about life settlements, about buying them. We need to talk about how we do it. When people come to us to invest in life settlement, they say, well, how does it work? Well, the way it works is people that need to sell their policy, the brokers send us the information and say, okay, here's a life policy we need to sell. Would you make a bid on it? So we'll bid that policy, and it may be cancer of the stomach. It may be esophagus cancer, breast cancer. We do a lot of breast cancers. And whatever one it is, if it's 28 months, 30 months, we're probably going to bid it. Pancreatic cancer, we hardly ever get them anymore, but we are bidding one right now. And as you know, pancreatic cancer is so deadly. This one's 18 months, but usually they come in a lot quicker than that. So we are bidding those. And the way it works is we tell you in advance, we say, okay, we're looking for everybody to put up $50,000 on this policy. We tell them what the profit is. We may say the profit is 28%. So they know in advance what they're going to make. They know what company that the people have their life insurance policy with. So they're all A and A plus, but one company, and that's Genworth. So sometimes we'll buy Genworth because they're a $2 billion company. So then we are ready for bidding. If we get the policy, we send out a notice to all the people that we've asked to join in that policy and say, okay, we've won the policy. We want you to put up $50,000, and then they have to answer us. They have to put it in writing. So they'll come back with an email and say, okay, put me in that policy. They know what they're going to make. That's what they want to do. And then if it goes over, they'll have to pay a premium. Sometimes there's no premium. I'm bidding a couple of them now that has no premium.
Wow.
One of my clients said, Faye, if you've got one with no premium, put me in.
Yeah. Wow, that's – I mean, anytime you have a no premium, people jump on that like crazy for good reason.
They do. It makes it a very safe investment.
It does.
So, you know, a lot of people have been with us 10, 14 years.
Oh, wow. That's a big
deal.
So
they've turned over a lot of money. We still have a few old policies that didn't come due when they should have. We're weeding those out. We're almost through with those. Like the Denton policy, but the rest of them, since about 21, they're coming in on time, looks to me like, and we just had that $4 million one and the $1 million one. The $4 million one is not at the bank yet. But that's another thing. Everything goes to Nevada Trust. It doesn't go to us. We don't hold your money. The checks are never made to us. And that is a safety factor. That's why we've been in business 23 years.
That is a big
deal. It is. It's a big deal. Because I watch these companies all the time. They can do anything they want with your money.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody at Nevada Trust, if we're doing something, they verify everything we do.
Yeah.
And they pay the premium if there's premium done. We have a large, large escrow account with them for premiums. So we have a lot of money on deposit just for premiums. And if a premium's due, they pay it. Then when this policy matures, the money comes to them in a check, and they put it in your account. That's pretty simple.
Yeah, pretty simple, pretty straightforward, pretty all. It's already mapped out, and you know, you'd mentioned that people know what they're going to make. They know about when they're going to make it, and I can't think of any other investment opportunity where you have that much information. I mean, with the stock market, it's kind of like whatever, whenever, if you even have anything left the next day. We all know what can happen. There are no, there's no, how do you say it? It changes with the wind. There's no, you know.
That's right. It changes every day and every hour.
Yeah.
This doesn't. Once you put your money up, you know what you're going to make. You know approximately when you'll get it back. And that's the most conservative investment I know. Because a life insurance company is so solid. When we invest your money, it's in a life insurance policy. Most people have a life insurance policy, so they understand it. How a life insurance policy works. We send in the claim. It takes a few weeks to get it back, and then the money goes in your account, and you're ready to go again.
Mm-hmm. And another thing to point out is speaking of life insurance companies, they never discount when the policy matures. So they don't ever, never once been a point where they said, you know, the market's not that great, or we're concerned about, you know, people's spending, or something may, you know, a war may break out overseas someplace. So, yeah, we're only going to pay about 70%. That never happens. It's always the full amount of the policy every time, no matter what the market conditions are.
That's right. It doesn't matter. It's a contract for a full amount. When the person that we're buying the policy from, when they bought it, let's say it's $1 million. That's what we're going to end up with, $1 million, not a dime less. And our profit is there. It's been there all the time. And when they pay, we take the profit, give it to you plus your money. So that's pretty simple. And it's steadfast. We do it over and over. We've done it for years. It works. I need to remind you, remember, we've returned $200 million over the years.
Golly, that's a lot of money.
$200 million is how much we've returned.
Wow.
And we've got a lot more to go.
Oh, yeah.
We probably have $100 million right now in investments. And it usually stays about $100 million.
Now, the way this is laid out, it's not one of these things where people, if nobody's ever done a life settlement before, they shouldn't expect to come in, invest in one policy, and then ride off into the sunset and retire. This is something that is designed to do over time. You say your most profitable investors are in the greatest number of policies. Their portfolio is diversified. Is that right?
That's right. And, you know, I've been looking back at what we've been making, and lately all these policies that have matured have paid 38, one paid 40, 36. All of them had a big return. That's not always the case. Sometimes it's in the 20s. But the last four that I'm thinking about had a big return, like 38, 35. And lots of times we can buy them and give them that kind of return. Sometimes it's if it's a short-term policy, it may be 16-18% if it's a 12-month policy. And we, bad thing is we've bid three policies lately, a $3 million, a $2 million, and a $1 million. And they've come back on every one of them and said, you know, they went to the doctor instead of 16 months, it's 12 months or 6 months.
Oh, wow.
So now they don't want to sell. We lost three policies. Because we were on the right track. We knew they were good policies. But the doctor came back and said, you're not going to live that long.
Mm.
Well, there's no use to sell their policy if it's just 6 months or 12 months. You know, there's no reason to.
Yeah. Let's talk about the policies for a second, because this is so profitable. You were saying a little while ago about the, you know, the ads and people, you know, advertising. Oh, we'll buy your policy, and I'm sure we've all seen, you know, the ads on TV where, you know, you've got the people in their living room, and you know they're reading the paper, and there's some people underground under the house, and they're shouting up. You have a ton of, you know, money, and then there's people, you know, that are riding off in the sunset, traveling the country in their RV, and playing with the grandkids. Those are not the types of policies that you're buying. Talk for a second about the types, because this is why
we're
it's
buying
so profitable.
Policies where they're dying, let's face it.
Yeah.
These people are serious. They have cancer. It's a serious situation. They're selling it either to settle their estate or because they need the cash. I talked to someone again the other day. They said they went to Mayo, and it was $100,000 for that one trip.
Oh, wow.
So a cancer is very expensive, and then lots of times you're not going to survive. And the other thing we did not mention is the policies we're buying are stage four. Hmm. We're not buying stage one or two where you're going to live another 10 years.
Yeah. Yeah, there's lots of companies that will buy policies, and they'll just advertise and say, we'll buy anybody's policy anytime, anywhere. You're so hyper-focused, and you've been doing this for so long, the data that you get at the front end determines whether or not you even bid on a policy. There's a lot that you throw away because they don't meet the criteria that you're looking for, right?
We reject a lot of policies every week. They'll say it's 45 months or 54 months. We can't do that. Mm. Or they'll say the premium's 7%.
Ooh.
I mean, they're trying to sneak that under the wire.
Yeah.
But we're always going to see what that premium is.
Now, over the years, the data that you have, okay, so let me back up for a minute. When you buy these policies, sometimes there's a several hundred pages worth of documentation. You have all kinds of information. It's investors can read what we used to call page 14, which is now... what, like a couple pages from the end?
I think it's 5 pages from the end. But that page tells you everything. It tells you who the policy is on, what life insurance company, what kind of cancer, how old they are. It tells you what the percent that we bought it at, what your percentage is, what you're going to make. Then it tells you if it goes over what it costs. So every piece of information that you should have is right there.
How do you determine the profit margin? So when you're bidding, I'm sure that there's probably people that bid and you're trying to outbid them so that you get the policy, but there must be some kind of, I guess, criteria or line or threshold or something where you say, okay, if we go over this, then we're you know, we cut into profit and we're not going to do that. Is that, how does that?
Well, that's right, because if we can't make a good profit for the client, there's no use doing it. If it's so tight that there's not any profit, like if it shows up, it's going to be 7 or 8% to the client. We can't do it. We've never done one to a client for 7 or 8%.
Yeah.
And we won't do it.
And you do what, about 1% a month? And that's based on the LE, right?
That's right. It's based on 1% a month. So if it's 27 months, you're going to make 27% or more. Lots of times it's a lot more. People that have had policies come due know this. Several years ago, we had a doctor that made 50% on a policy.
Wow.
He was elated. He was over the moon. But that's the only time it's ever happened that I know of in the entire years we've been in business.
Wow. When you say it's an 18 or 20-month policy, that means, and I'm sure I'm going to mess this up, so please correct me, but that means when the experts, the doctors and scientists, that's the length of time that they think the policy will mature. Is that right?
That's right. If we do a Lapidus, I think is the best because they're all scientists. They'll give you all the information. They'll say, if a person was healthy at your age, they should live this long. But unfortunately, you have this type of cancer, and this is the extent of it. It's from this to this. It may be 12 to 24. They may call it at 16. But they'll tell you why they've called it, what that disease does, how it works, and where you are with that disease. So it's really good to have that kind of information. Then we have the doctor's reports, as you mentioned. And the doctor's report may be 500 pages, maybe 1,000.
Wow.
So I wade through that and see what the doctors say is going to happen.
Okay. Now, that doesn't mean that investors need to read 700 pages of stuff.
No, we're not asking them to. I'm going to read all that. I'm going to give them the LA that the doctors have compiled, and it tells them what the doctors think.
Okay. All right. So, and you also look at their lifestyle, too, right?
Absolutely. If they're out playing golf, they're not sick enough for us.
Yeah.
But if it says they're on narcotics for pain, we know it's really bad. If they've been in the hospital several times, if they say, we cannot resect, we cannot operate, it's inoperable, that's a clue right there.
Okay. All right, so let me try to summarize this and streamline this to make it simple, because I know that you always have people that are new to the show trying to decide, hey, we're looking for something a little bit more conservative. Maybe they've been in the stock market. Maybe they're unsure. Maybe they're getting closer to retirement, want to take less risks, and they're looking for alternatives. So basically, the way a life settlement works, somebody is diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. They want to sell their policy. They put it up for bids. A number of people will bid on it. If you get it, then you pass it on to investors. They know basically about when it will mature. They know their profit. Really, all it is just a matter of set it and forget it and just waiting for the policy to mature. They don't need to get up in the middle of the night and check their portfolio, right?
No, they don't, like with the stock market.
Okay. All right. So it's pretty streamlined, pretty straightforward. The great thing is that it's all data driven, and the scientists and the doctors that you have that are looking at these and analyzing the policies and all these things, they are they've always been very accurate. But over the last couple of years, they've even gotten more accurate because of the advances.
They've gotten better.
Yeah.
And then the other thing is we went with Northstar, and Northstar is getting those death certificates right away. So we're not having the delays we were having getting our death certificates and paying people.
Okay. So payment has even sped up dramatically.
The payment has sped up. People are getting paid a lot quicker, and that's a good thing.
Yeah. And you said, I think it was a couple of weeks ago, you had said that one policy had recently matured on a Saturday, and you knew first thing Monday morning when you went in the office.
We knew about it on Monday morning, and that's fast.
Yeah. All right, cool. So like we were talking about, people looking for other alternatives that are a little bit more conservative. Another option is also if people do not want to do or can't do a life settlement, you also have annuities.
Or if they don't qualify.
Or that too. Now, speaking of that, what is accreditation for a life settlement?
Okay, they must be accredited according to the law. You must make $200,000 a year or be worth $1 million without your home. And that's just the law. Doesn't have anything to do with me. So if you meet that criteria, you can do a life settlement. Now, let's say that you aren't worth $1 million or you don't make $200,000 a year. You can go and do an annuity. The qualifications are different. Annuities are the conservative of everything in America. I had a lady this week that called me and wanted to talk about investments. She said, can I do a life settlement? I said, no. Your husband and you, at the age you're in, you need to be conservative. You need guaranteed results like an annuity. Because remember, an annuity, you don't pay taxes on it until you take it out. It's all tax deferred, which for a senior, this will help a lot. It's compound interest, which will help. It's got all these indexes that mirror the stock market without being in the stock market. That's the safety item right there. And now they've got some new indexes that are paying a lot of money. This new index paid 19%. Our average is 10.
Wow.
We've averaged about 10% all these years. The other thing is it doesn't go through probate. Whoever you want to have it, they get it. When you die, they get a check right away, or they can leave it in, whatever they want to do. It's just not like other investments. You can take 10% a year out forever after that first year. And it has a bonus right now. There's the bonus of 13%. And so whatever you put in that first year, you get the 13 plus whatever it makes. So the second year, if you put more money in, you get another 13%. You can do that for 3 years and get bonuses.
So let's pretend the actual annuity didn't make a profit. Just pretend, for sake of argument. With the bonus, you still make money.
That's right.
Okay, cool.
I think there's only been once or twice it hadn't made any money.
Yeah.
Because they send us the statistics. They send us a list. In fact, I was looking at it this morning again. It's what they had made in over a 10-year period. I looked here, and all of them but one had had a good return. One of them over 10 years only made 2.9, but one of them made 19.6. The other made 10%. One made 12%, over a 10-year period. That's what they were averaging.
Mm. That's pretty fantastic. So essentially, an annuity, like you said, it mirrors the stock market. So if it can grow, but if, say, for some reason something happens and the bottom falls out on Wall Street, with an annuity, you have a safety net. So you always protect the principal. It can go up, but it won't go down. Is that?
That's right. It's okay. Always protected. You don't have a downturn ever with an annuity. That's why people love them. And for older people especially, there's a safety factor. You don't have to worry about losing all your money in the stock market or making a bad investment. A lady told me the other day their husband had made some bad investments. Well, they need to get conservative if you've made some bad investments.
And with the I guess kind of like the same thing or same principle as a life settlement, with an annuity, you still, even though you say it mirrors the stock market, you don't have to get up in the middle of the night. You get the excitement of the stock market, but not having the worry, the anxiety of, oh my gosh, do I have anything left in my portfolio? You know that you do because of that safety
net.
And
you can change it every year. That's what I love about annuities. If it's working, leave it alone. But if it needs to be tweaked every year, you can do it. You can change out what you've invested in. They're always doing new things to annuities. You know, annuities have improved. They've never went back down, you know, on the way they pay. So annuity is a good, safe option. This company that we use has been in business 100 years.
Wow.
They're worth $60 billion, and they're Texas-owned.
And that's a big deal.
It's a big deal.
You said
we're not dealing with somebody in New York City.
I was waiting for you to bring up New York or New Jersey.
That's right.
You say that every year people can switch. If it's not working, they want to switch, they can. What is there, like 14, 13, 14?
There's 14 different options that you can do. They're all pretty conservative. But like they say, there's conservative, moderate, or aggressive. And I don't do aggressive.
That's the whole point, is to not take risky things.
We're not taking any risk.
Yeah. Okay, let's do a little bit of a compare and contrast between life settlements and annuities. And I hate to generalize, but I know that, or I think anyway, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think there's certain people in certain stages of maybe their investment careers that tend to lean towards life settlements and tend to lead towards annuities. So for a life settlement, what type of investor, where are they in their investment journey?
Well, they usually have either a 401k, a large IRA, or they own a business. So when they come to us, the minimum is $100,000. But usually they'll bring $250,000, $1 million over because they're serious about investing. They want to get out of the stock market. They've had too much of the ups and downs. And when you get to a certain age, you don't want the risk of the stock market. If you're 50 years old or older, you know, you don't want to play the games the stock market plays. Mm-hmm. You know, when I think of all the losses people have made this year on some of these crazy investments, it's worrisome. So when you come and you're doing a life settlement, yes, it pays good. It will pay better than an annuity, but it's not as conservative as to the way they do it.
about how many for some of your most successful investors who have made the most money over the years, about how many policies have they been in, or how many do you recommend?
They have 20 or 30 policies. They have a lot.
Okay.
They've got at least $2 million invested. Most of them at this point have got at least $2 million.
Okay. And then as they what happens is as a policy matures, they turn around, reinvest in another policy. And that cycle keeps going,
and the
right?
money this year, the interest has stacked up, I'll just tell you.
Yeah.
The ones that have had maturities, it has stacked up and stacked up. Every time I look around, they're getting more money. They're getting another check.
Mm.
And so they've had a lot of maturities this year. Now, when a person starts out, they're not usually going to have $2 million. They're going to start with $500,000, $300,000, or maybe $1 million. But they're going to grow it. If you've got one policy, you're not going to grow it. If you've got four policies, it'll be real, real slow. But it will grow.
Do you have people that come in, maybe get in one or two at the beginning, see how it works, and then they realize that, hey, this is actually a fantastic investment opportunity, and then all of a sudden they're like, hey, put me in more. Put me in as many as you can. Is that...
Yes, and
normal.
I've got a lot of customers that have been with us a long time, and they just keep bringing checks over to the office.
Yeah.
They'll just say, okay, here's another $100,000, here's another $75,000. So they have other money, and when it comes due, they're putting it with us.
What would you say is, for a new investor, what would you say is maybe the most common question that you get from people that come over and are interested in life science?
How soon could I invest?
Mm.
That's the first question. How long will it take me to get in a policy?
Okay. And what's the answer?
It takes 2 weeks to get you set up to invest.
Okay.
And then if I've got a policy ready, we'll put you in it. If I don't, it may be another 2 weeks.
That's not bad
at all.
Because
we're buying policies all the time. But as I said, we've had three that were rejected by the people, which would have really been good for us. They changed it from 15 months to 12 on one, and then two of them went down to 6 months that we were bidding on. So they're not going to sell it to us if it's 6 months, because they're going to get all the money in 6 months. It wouldn't make any sense.
Yeah. I would say for a couple of weeks to get set up for such a well-informed, conservative, profitable type of investment, I would say that's fantastic.
Yes, and they just come to the office. I'll be on the phone with them. Claudia will be writing all the information down. We have to have driver's license. If it's a brokerage account, we have to have a copy of it. If they're writing a check, all they do is write a check, fill out the application, tell me who the beneficiaries are, and we send it in. And the check has to be made to Nevada Trust.
I'm sure probably somebody who is maybe thinking about coming over, doing a life settlement, maybe asking to themselves. So I'll just go ahead and ask, is it something that maybe a husband and wife should get in together, or does usually maybe the husband head it up?
The husband always calls, makes the calls, sets it up. If it's joint, him and his wife will come to the office. They get on the phone with me. I find out if there's any additional questions. If there is, I answer them right then. And then they fill out the application and get it sent in and tell me how they want to put their money.
All right. Cool. Pretty straightforward. All right. Let's compare and contrast with annuities. What type of investor in their investment career or stage in life typically leans towards annuities?
Well, it's going to be someone that has a lump sum again, because it's going to take a lump sum. And it's somebody that may need the money next year and the next year, or maybe someone that just wants to park the money and make the interest and not worry about it. If you want a worry-free investment, it's an annuity. It's worry-free. You don't have to do a thing to it. So that's why so many people have annuities with us.
With an annuity, I assume payouts are consistent. Is that
correct? Very consistent.
Okay.
They work, and that's all I can say. I have people now that are getting so old, they're passing away, and the children are calling and say, okay, how do I do the annuity? You know, what do I do? And we get them sent out the application and they just put down, I'm the heir, I get this much, and that's all there is to it. In about 12 days, they'll send them a check.
Okay. Is an annuity good for maybe somebody, and I'm sure anybody could do an annuity, but typically speaking, people that are getting maybe closer to retirement, maybe 60s, 50s, somewhere in through there, is that an ideal range for
yes.
somebody to do annuities?
50, 60, and then in your 70s, annuity's good.
Okay.
Because it is so conservative.
All right. Is there any point where it's too late to do either an annuity or a life settlement? Like if somebody's like 40.
I would say if you're in your 80s, it probably would not be appropriate.
Okay. All right. So, you know, if somebody's kind of, you know, maybe been doing something else or, you know, floating along, not really even thinking about maybe.
Life settlement in your 80s would not be appropriate.
All right. All right. So somebody in their 40s, 50s, 60s, it's 60s, not a bad
70s,
place.
70s, yes.
Okay, cool. All right, because I know a lot of people say, well, gosh, you know, I wish we had started, you know, earlier in life. And I just wonder if people get concerned that it might be they've missed all their opportunities and just too bad. But that's not the case. So.
No.
All right. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby, and your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
It's a lot of information, so every Saturday around this time, we take a break. We get into trivia. So what is our topic today?
Well, we're going to talk about Schulenburg, Texas. Now, I don't know if you remember, we did a story on Schulenburg years ago about all those painted churches, which are so famous down
there.
Remember that?
I do.
Okay. Well, today we're going to approach it from a different angle. I'm going to remind everybody a little bit about how Schulenburg started. In 1831, the Mexican government owned it, that land, and they granted 4,000 and something acres to Kessa Crier. And they were the first European-American settlers in the area. And in 1873, the Galveston, Harris, and San Antonio Railroad came in, and they built a depot on the portion owned by the Lewis Schulenburg and named it after him. And that's how it all started. If you remember, all these immigrants were German, Austrian, and Czechs. And they came after the Revolution of 1848 in Europe. And the culture has stayed. If you're looking for a bakery, it's going to have kolaches. But what I wanted to talk about is they're having a festival this weekend. It's the Schulenburg Festival. Now, people that think they've got the best recipes, the best recipe for barbecue, for chili, for salsa, for baked beans, this is the thing you want to go to. The entry fees are not very much. The meat fee, if you're going to do barbecue, it's $200.
Hmm.
And most of those people are used to that.
Yeah.
The other fees are like $15 or $20 for beans or for salsa, okay?
Not bad at all.
But this is big. It's so big. They have a rodeo. You know, it's rodeo time in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it started in Fort Worth in February. We went to Houston. Now we've got Schulenburg. All these places are fixing to have big rodeos.
Yeah. And then we kind of, I guess, wrap things up with the big state fair. What is that, next month?
That's exactly right. So the rodeo will be two or three nights. You've got really good live entertainment. Now, I'm not familiar with all these people, like Keith Hickle or Slade Coulter or Josh Ward. I don't even remember them. But there's a lot of them. There'll be a golf tournament. I mean, there's an arts and crafts show, the chili cook-off, of course, the barbecue cook-off, and all these. There'll be so much food there. And, of course, I said, and the jackpot bean contest. They'll have a pageant for all these young girls. And then they're going to have softball.
Oh, my gosh. Really?
Men's softball, a co-ed, and a women's softball team. Then they'll have tricycle races and bicycle and basketball. There's not anything this festival doesn't have for a family. It's got everything. This is a fun place. the chili cook-off, the barbecue cook-off, and it is sponsored by everybody in town, let me tell you.
Wow. This sounds huge.
These
I didn't
Germans
realize.
Germans know how to do it.
Evidently. Wow.
Oh, yeah.
This is fantastic.
The first weekend in August, they have it every time. So, and you know, it's just a small town, a bunch of Germans, Czechs, all these, and they know how to cook, let me tell you.
Mm-hmm. Man, I just love fairs and festivals where you just, there's so much different food that you can try, and it's just like a, it's like a gigantic buffet of food and fun for everybody.
And their motto, you know, the motto in Schulenburg is halfway to everywhere.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, halfway to everywhere. But it made me hungry just talking about and thinking about all this barbecue, the barbecue beans, I mean, everything. You know, and I did that story last weekend, you know, about all these people from Texas. Now, I didn't tell you what you could win.
Mm.
The top prize is going to be like $10,000 paid out over the course. So if you're good at any of this, you could take home some money.
Wow.
Because there'll be prizes, cash prizes for everything.
Really?
So if you're a good cook and you like to do this and you want to enter it, this is the place to be.
So you can go to either enter or go and eat, or both.
That's right. Either go and eat or go and enter and see if you can't make some money for the fun of it. And then they're going to have a kids' cook-off. The
really?
Little kids are going to do a cook-off.
Wow. That's cool.
Oh, yeah. I can't even imagine how many little kids can cook, but I'll bet it's a fun deal.
Wow. Man, I bet that would be cool to not only watch, but boy, you know, you see those kids, like even like on like baking contests on TV where the kids are in there baking. Some of these kids are quite, you know, you think, you know, oh gosh, you know, when we could barely make a grilled cheese sandwich when we were kids.
That's
but
right.
Some of these little people, they can, I mean, gosh, kids are so... They're so, I don't know what they watch and
but
they learn and absorb.
But nowadays kids are much smarter
yes.
than they used to be.
Yeah.
I mean, kids now are industrious. I see those little kids cooking. They can cook almost anything an adult can cook. It's amazing.
It is. And sometimes
and
it's
they're about
even
9 or 10 years old.
I know
they're
it.
Little kids.
It's like they're so young, it's like they can barely reach over, you know, the counter sometimes, and it's like you can't even drive. You're 9, 10. You can barely do a lot of things, but boy, oh boy, can they cook. Wow. I'm just in awe sometimes. It's amazing.
I am too. Amazing thing. The little children can do all this, but they're a lot more industrious. Used to, kids just played. They didn't do a darn thing.
Yeah.
And kids now enter all kinds of contests, whether it's musical, food, you know, whatever it is. So we've come a long way. And I was just thinking, in Texas, you know, we're so barbecue and boots and rodeos. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a great thing to be a Texan. It's always a great day.
Yeah, and this is a great time. You know, summertime in Texas is different than really any other state anywhere. I know places
it's
have...
It's different than anywhere in the world.
Yeah.
If you're a Texan, you love your boots, you love your barbecue, and your pickup.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And it's...
Yeah.
You know, we have so many different regions that are so, I guess, different, not only culture-wise, but food-wise, agriculture-wise, weather-wise is even different all over the place. It's you can experience all these different things and never have to leave the state. It's unlike anything else.
And, you know,
else.
The people that do barbecue contests, I find that they all do it different. You know, yeah. One region of Texas will have one type of barbecue. Another will have a different kind, but it's all good.
Oh, yeah.
I've never met a barbecue I didn't like.
No, me neither. I've never talked to a single person that has ever said, yeah, I don't know if I really like barbecue. That's
they're
not
a Texan if they don't like barbecue.
No. It's like, wow. It's almost like if you were to go just to fairs and festivals and have like some kind of like outdoor barbecue cook-off or something in the state, you probably, there's no way you could hit them all in one summertime season. I don't think you could.
No, you couldn't. Uh-uh. And you couldn't ever hit all of our barbecue places. There's so many in Texas, it's an amazing thing.
Yeah, and we're more passionate about than other places, too.
We're passionate about everything. Had you ever thought about that?
Well, that's well put. Yeah, that's true. Gosh, I mean, you know, it's like you can get something. You can get just about anything in the shape of Texas. I don't know if anybody, you know, from like New Jersey gets like anything like jewelry, necklaces, trinkets, anything in the state of any or in the shape of any other state. I don't think anybody else does that. So, you know,
and the Texas flag, everybody loves their flag. They love the United States flag. Texans are just a different breed of people.
Yes, in a good way.
They're very patriotic, and I can't say that for a lot of places.
No, I don't. You know, and you've been a lot of places. You've traveled, and
I've been a lot of places. I've seen a lot of people, and a lot of people I don't want to go back.
We won't name them by name.
We will not name them or mention who they were.
Yeah. Yeah. But boy, it's like, this is just the greatest time of year to be here, you know, and even if you
it's the best time of year.
Yeah. And the fact that, you know, you can, within a couple hours, you can be at all these different places. It's just, it's great, you know, especially, you know, first thing Saturday morning, you find out, hey, this is going on. It's nothing to just, hey, let's just, you know, grab some people. Let's get in the truck and let's just turn around and go the other way and go
That's
see this.
That's exactly right. On a Saturday, it's time to boogie around.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want to just stay home and be a blurb. You want to get out and get something done.
Yeah, experience things and take in. You
go to a rodeo.
Yeah.
Go to a barbecue cook-off like they're having a chili cook-off, and you know it'll keep you young.
It will. It really will. And there's nothing like, oh, and you know how when you pull up to like a fair or a festival or something, and there's when you smell all the different types of food coming together, it's just like, oh.
And you have to eat some of all of it. That's what happens.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you're just going to go down the road there, and everywhere you see a booth, you're going to have something.
I think it's in the state constitution. It's a law, I think. You have to try everything.
I think it is. You've got to eat a lot of barbecue. That's a part of the deal.
Well, and the thing is it's also different, but it's also good. It's not like, you know, oh, that was terrible. You know, it's all just a little bit different, and it's all delicious. You want to take it all in. Wow. So this is down in Schulenburg, and it's going on.
It's in Schulenburg this weekend. You need to make the date.
Yeah.
Today's the date. Get in the pickup and go.
Nice. It sounds like fun for the whole family. It's awesome.
It is. It's a family deal.
This is Your Money with Fay Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
We should note that when you give the phone number, there's nobody like at the office today, but you will be back Monday. You may be like heading down to Schulenburg after the show yourselves. You know,
right. You never know. But Monday through Friday, we're there.
Yeah. Yeah. Put it in your phone. Save the number. I guess people could call and leave a message today if they wanted to. You call them back Monday, right? Do people do that?
Or they can call Monday morning first thing. And I'll speak to them.
Cool. You're like actually like there. They can speak to you, not a call center.
I'm a real person.
You're a real person.
I'm not a robot.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people would attest to that.
you said it.
That's
you're
it.
Real person. And speaking of that, real quick, you're always there. So during the entire process, you know, if you know, a year down the road, somebody has a question, they can pick up the phone and call and you can actually like talk to them. So
that's right. You can talk to real people.
And don't people actually call, like, just speaking of customer service, don't people actually like call Nevada Trust and like talk to like people? Is that
real people?
Yeah.
Lots of times if they have a question about their account, they can always call Nevada Trust. They're one of the best banks around because, James Chris, Vice President, talks to everybody.
And speaking of James, did you say at one time, or probably several times, if somebody makes a change, moves something around or something, doesn't he actually, or somebody pick up the phone and call?
He will call and make sure it's them and not somebody trying to do something to their account.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
People call their house or their business and get a hold of and talk to them.
That's pretty cool. I mean, I don't know.
It is cool.
It's rare. It's rare in a good way. So I guess that's probably another a big bonus of doing something
and
like
they've
this.
They've been in business, I think, 26 years.
Oh, gosh. Wow. Cool.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay, so we talked a little bit. Let's circle back with accreditation. So for a life settlement, I know you touched on this earlier, but let's go through it again. What are the qualifications to
you
do
a life
settlement?
You must be accredited. You must make $200,000 a year, or you must be worth $1 million, and that's without your house. And the minimum investment is $100,000.
And what are the risks? With a life settlement, there are two. What's the biggest?
There's two risks. The greatest risk would be if it goes over, you will have to pay premium. So pay attention, look at what the premium is, or ask me if you have a question. And when they start to make an investment in a policy, if they have a question, if they're new, they can call me and ask me about the policy.
Okay.
So, and a lot of people do. And I'll go over the medical with them or whatever they need. So, yes, you must be accredited to do a life settlement. So that is the second one is it is not liquid till it matures. I think everybody gets that.
Okay.
That you can't get paid till it matures. And then the money goes into your account, and then you can turn around and do it again. For annuities, it's a little different. It's not as stringent. You don't have to be worth as much as you do for a life settlement. But you can't put... Let's say you had $200,000. It's all the money you've got in the world. You cannot put it all in annuity. Okay. You have to have money at home. You have to have emergency money. You have to have money to live on. And when we send in that application, it needs to show that.
And what about risks with an annuity?
It's really not because your principal is safe. The only thing is we don't know how much interest you'll make. And so the interest is accredited to your account once a year. We can't tell you in advance how much interest you'll make because we don't know.
Does it happen often or at all where somebody is, say, interested in a life settlement, but for some reason they don't think that they're actually accredited, but when they add things up that they actually are? Does that happen?
Yes, that happens a lot. Every once in a while, somebody will say, well, I don't know if I can do a life settlement. I don't know if I have the right assets. I'll tell them, go home, list all their assets, and see. And the ones that have found out they were worth a lot more than they thought.
Hmm. So it is worth, I guess. How much, I guess, prep work should people do before they call you? So say somebody wants to call you for the first time. They're interested in life settlements. Should they actually go have all of their documents, dig up any past 401ks or, you know, add up all their assets ahead of time?
Well, it depends how much they want to invest. If they say, well, I know I have another account somewhere, then they need to look it up and I'll say, okay, how much do you think you want to put in? And they can tell me.
Okay. For annuities, I guess people just call. How does the setup process for annuities work to get going?
Well, they call. They ask me questions. I tell them everything about it, how it's going to work, what they're going to make, how the beneficiaries work, everything. And then they say, okay, I want to make an appointment.
Okay.
So then they come to the office. If they have any more questions, I'm on the phone with them.
Okay. And just to clarify, I don't want to make it sound like it's an either-or thing. People don't necessarily have to do either a life settlement or an annuity. You do have some investors that do both, right?
I do have some that do both. Sometimes they'll say, okay, for further down the road, I want this annuity. And that's for further down the road. And then the life settlement is for now.
Okay. And you do, for annuities, you do 1 year and 2 year strategies? Is that?
Yes, 1 year and 2 year strategies.
Okay. And also.
And it's locked in at each time.
We don't talk about this.
So the interest does not go backwards and you can't lose your interest.
That's important. It's always important to
really important
protect your principal and all that. You talk about that all the time. Make sure you protect your principal. One last thing before we wrap up. We don't always bring this up, but we probably should. You are also a licensed purchaser of policies. That's not the right way to put it. I don't know what
policies.
The official term is.
In Texas, we can purchase your policy direct. If you've got cancer and you need to sell your policy, you need to be calling us. Don't call someone out of state. Call us, and we'll make it happen.
Yeah,
we are a licensed provider in the state of Texas.
Keep it at home with people that you know.
That's right.
All righty. So I know it's a lot of information, especially for people who are new to either of these sectors. But if people do have questions, all they need to do is pick up the phone and call. They can, you know, come in, get some more information, or if they want to start, you know, right off the bat, if they think they have enough, just go ahead and start. It really kind of depends on wherever they are in their journey. But it's important that they're comfortable with moving forward before they do. You always stress that to make sure that it's a good fit for everybody, right?
That's right. And the other thing is, remember this, we're all going to get old someday. And if you've got all this laid out right, you won't take any losses, you'll be protected, and you can go into retirement and sail along.
Yeah. The last thing you want to do is get close to retirement or already retired, and then all of a sudden the bottom falls out.
Go back to work.
Yeah.
And you go, who is going to hire me? You know, I'm 75 years old.
Yeah.
So you've got to be a little bit careful.
Yeah, plan ahead of time. Both of these are conservative investment opportunities, and people have made tons and tons of money over the years. All right, so one last time, Faye, for people to call, make an appointment, come talk to you, get information, get started, what is your phone number?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.